You're listening to the Winter Interview Series on the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, brought to you by Exmark Manufacturing. 30 years of pioneering spirit and innovation have resulted in legendary durability, all-day comfort, and unmatched cut quality. Go check them out at Exmark.com. And Crest Commercial, introducing the 8-Minute Cyber System, the industry's first truly game-changing innovation in commercial battery-powered OPE. Professional landscape can now replace their gas-powered equipment without sacrificing performance, power, or runtime. For more information or to find a Crest dealer near you, visit Crest.com. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast, the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems in marketing, equipment, and customer service, educational and motivational, to help make your lawn care business an overwhelming success. Now, here's your host, Julio Tomei.
Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei. This is episode number 443, entitled Interview with Scott Faulkner from Red Rock Maintenance. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. Really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. And of course, for the questions, comments, feedback, and all that you guys send through, I really do appreciate that. If you guys are interested on coming onto the podcast and sharing your story, make sure you just send me a DM if you follow me on Instagram, or head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com and go to the contact page and just send me a quick message there, and we will get you on to share your lawn care business journey. I'll be doing these episodes at least through to the start of the spring season. Hope you guys are enjoying your new year thus far. I know it's just begun, but always exciting to, in the off season, be planning and thinking about the possibilities and what you want to change and stuff for the new season. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Scott Faulkner to the show. Hey, Scott, how's it going?
It's going great. Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on the episode, Julio.
No, that's awesome. You're always welcome on the podcast. Always enjoy seeing you in person and meeting up with you and chatting. Always a lot of fun. We got to recently there at the Equip Expo in Kentucky to meet up again and do some quick little videos and stuff. Always a lot of fun. How many... you actually skipped the Equip Expo the previous year. Well, you had an interesting story about that.
I did. Yes. Well, I was planning on going last year. I got to the border from the Canadian border, U.S. border, and then they turned me away. I guess they saw the emergency order on with the whole COVID thing, and because of the vaccination status, I was not. They turned me away, so I had to drive all the way back home, which is about a 4-hour drive from my place to the border. So it was quite an experience, and I was a little bit frustrated because I was very excited to go because I hadn't been since 2019. So I was looking forward to it.
To going back. Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. That was like me for this year. It was my first time back. Or I shouldn't say this year, because this episode will be coming out in 24. We're actually recording this in December of 23. But it was for me the same thing. I hadn't been back since 2019. And then to be able to go back to this last one was awesome. And yes. Like I said, it was good to see you there as well. So what has changed for you in your business in the last few years? Are you still, for those that are interested in hearing sort of the traditional questions that I normally ask first-time guests on the show, you were in episode number 245 back in 2020, sort of right in the heart of the pandemic and all the craziness that was going on at that time. So how did you fare through that and through those few years of the pandemic?
Honestly, it was some of our busiest times. There are a lot of people, honestly, like their businesses, like around us, like, you know, like storefronts and that, like going out of business and dying off. But we just got busier and busier because, as you know, Julia, we're in cottage country. Yep. And what happened was all the cottagers, they're moving up to the cottages to live instead of being in the city because they didn't want to be stuck in the city. And because you were able to work from home, they just moved up their cottages and they needed more work done. So we were busier than ever. And then this year was our busiest season ever. I hired 6 employees this year, awesome. Up from, last year I had 4, this year I had 6. I started a second crew this year. So I had one crew doing lawns from Tuesday to Friday. And then Mondays, we all went out to do all the work. And then from Monday to Friday, I had 2 girls with me working, doing all our other work. So it was a crazy hectic season. I've never had 2 crews before, so it's fantastic. as well, I bought a second truck so I could have the 2 crews. So the long crew had 1 truck, I had the other truck. Honestly, it was a fantastic season. I had a revenue goal that I wanted to do, and I crushed it, and I actually overwent what I had planned on wanting to do, which was amazing. And I could have done it without all my amazing employees that I had this year. Without them, I mean, I couldn't grow my business. So it's been a fantastic year. And just lots of new things. Like I started to do more deck cleaning and staining. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what bumped my business up as well, because those were more like higher ticket jobs. And I actually would rather be doing those jobs than my window cleaning, because I'm not wanting to go up ladders anymore. Yeah. Just because I'm getting older in the heights. Actually needing people to hold ladders for me more where I wasn't, just because I'm getting more nervous. So I'm trying to keep my feet on the ground some more. So that's really good. And I really enjoy seeing the transformation of the deck. So yeah. That's what's changed my business. We've just a lot of different changes, and just trying to go with the flow and see if we can grow the business even bigger.
Yeah, that's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about sort of the deck cleaning and refinishing sort of thing that you do, sort of add-on service. I would expect, being there in cottage country, there's probably a lot of decks to be cleaned. And seeing your photos on your Instagram and stuff is always so cool to see the transformation and some of the tools that you're using to do that. So how did you originally get into that? And did you have to do like a bunch of research to figure out sort of the best way to do that?
Honestly, I don't even know how I got into it. I think people started asking me, so I just started doing it. So I basically started with a power washer and just used my wand and just, did it with a wand. But over the years, I've learned how to do it better. Using the wand, you can really eat the wood away and really damage it.
Yeah.
So then I found out about surface cleaners. I wish I had known about them 20 years ago, because they are way quicker, do a better job, saying that you do have to know how to use them proper and keep them moving so you don't damage the wood. And then from there, I just kind of evolved. There's a guy I know, I actually went to high school with him, and he's got a deck business as well. He stains decks and cleans decks too. So he told me about the scrubber that he uses. He let me try it on a deck last year, and it was amazing. So I ended up buying one this year. I almost didn't, but I finally bought it. So basically, you can sand wood with it and scrub decks. You can use it wet or dry. And so what we do, we've kind of got a three-step process now. So we use a system called Q-Tex. So Q-Tex is a stain. It's a really high good quality stain, I guess what I'm trying to say. And they have a 3-step process. So they have a cleaner, then a brightener, and then the stain. So that's kind of how I do my decks now. I clean it, then we brighten them, and then we put a stain on. And then the stain, it doesn't peel, chip, or crack like other stains does. Mm-hmm. And it soaks, it's an oil-based stain, so it soaks into the wood. So it's kind of like Gore-Tex. So when the water hits it, it beads up and it kind of rolls off. So we basically, this is my first year really getting into really like big. So I'm trying to upsell customers on it now, and then try and upsell them to do it every 2 years, so that it keeps the finish looking good and keeps the water out even longer. Mm-hmm. And this product will make your deck last for a long, long time, a lot more than other stains. Other stains are more kind of like paint stains. So when you put that on, with the direct sun and people walking on it, it starts to wear off and it kind of peels and you can see it flaking off. And then if you want to do the deck proper, you've got to sand that all back off and put it back on. Otherwise, if you put the stain back on top of it, you'll just see the old stain, and then you'll see the spots where it's peeled off, and it's not going to look good. So that's why I like the stain. It's, you don't have to do that. You just come back, you do a quick clean of it, put another coat on, and you're good to go for another couple of years.
Okay, cool. What would you do with, I'm going to start asking some questions just for my own benefit here.
Yep, for
because
sure.
During the pandemic, like a lot of people, home projects and stuff sort of took precedence, and we all saw the sort of the funny memes on the price of lumber and stuff like that. And actually I decided to do a deck build at my own house during the pandemic, and I did it at the beginning, luckily, because Ooh. It was before the craziness with pricing skyrocketed.
Yep.
So I was able to build a deck pretty reasonably still. But one thing I haven't done is I haven't put any finish or anything on it yet. It's after I built the deck and it was new, we put an awning cover over it. So it's still in excellent condition. It still looks pretty new, but I'm always like, I should really, especially around the perimeters where rain still kind of gets onto it and stuff. It's like, I should really put, some sort of a stain, but I can never decide. I'm always looking at all these different, ones. And like you said, some of them just seem like they're paint and not really a true yes. stain. I'm like, it's got to really soak into the wood to make it really last, not just sit on top of it.
Yep.
But I was always told that you should really, I used pressure treated lumber yep. board and stuff, and I was always told that you should let it sit for a year or two before you put anything on it, so that it doesn't, there's an issue with if the wood is too newly pressure treated, that it can push the stain out if you treat it too quickly.
Yes. So from my understanding, from what I've talked to with the guy that got me into it, the Q-Tex, you don't need to worry about that. Now you can put it on right away, because I used to say that to customers as well. You need to wait a year to let it soak out and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently with the Q-Tex, you can put it on right away. Don't quote me on that, but that's what he told me. Mm-hmm. But I still think it was good to weather it just to get all the old stuff out of it and to let it, season for summer.
Yeah.
That's what I would recommend to do. And then after that, you just give it a clean and then put the stain on.
Okay. And that that Q-Tex stuff soaks right in?
It does, yeah. So it's oil-based, so it soaks right in. So the first day after you've cleaned it and everything, you put the stain on, and then you'll really feel it going in, because it kind of pulls at the brush. And then after that, the next day you come back, you put a second coat on, and then the second coat takes a little bit longer to dry, because it's soaked in already, so it takes a little bit longer for the mm-hmm. second coat to soak in and dry. And then after that, you're good to go. It's a really nice stain, and they've got different colors, so you can do like a clear coat, and then you've got all these other colors you can do as well. So it's up to you if you want to do like a clear coat just to have the natural wood coming out, mm-hmm. or if you want to have a different color on it.
Oh, very cool. Does it leave a smell or anything? When I was building the deck, I was like very cognizant about any of the cuts I made to sort of treat the ends to make sure. So yes. I bought this like wood preservative for that specific reason. And the stuff smelled, it looked nice, it kind of matched, but it smelled like almost like creosote from railroad ties or something. And like 2 years later on a hot summer day, you still will get whiffs of it. And it's like, holy smokes, like there was barely any of that just on some of the ends, and you can still smell it 2 years. I'm like, those pieces of wood are probably going to last forever.
Yeah. So it doesn't really leave a smell. You can smell a little bit. I think honestly, they have changed the formulation of it, because when I used it about 5-6 years ago, I could really smell it. But like last year when I've been using it, I couldn't really smell. Like it does have a little bit of smell, but it's not that bad. Like it's not really irritating. And if it does, it only lasts maybe like a week or so, and then you should be fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking watching a video right now of you from your Instagram with that scrubber tool. So it's like a big square pad. It looks like it has some wheels on the back of it for transporting. So, and it like almost like an oscillating sander type motion to it. What is it sandpaper that you have on there, or is it a brush, or what is that on the actual bottom of it?
Yep. So like I said before, you can use it two different ways. You can use it sanding, like just regular sanding the deck, or wet scrubbing like we do. So for the wet scrubbing, when we got it wet, we use a white pad, and it's just a white pad by itself, and we use that to scrub it. And then as we're going along, we rinse it off. And then if you're going to sand it, you put another pad onto it. I think it's the blue pad. And then you put your sandpaper or sunscreen underneath the blue pad. And then it's basically just like a big, or like a small, you know, oscillating hand sander, mm-hmm. or brittle sander. That's basically what it is, but it's just a big version of that.
Yeah, just a big, big version. And so all you're doing, like in this video that I'm watching here, the transformation is remarkable. Like when you're going over it with this tool, it's like night and day. You've got grimy green nastiness on one side, and then it looks like brand new boards as you're passing over it with this machine. That's just that Q-Tex cleaner going
on. So what we do, we with the Q-Tex, you have to wet it first. So you wet the deck down, put the cleaner on it, let it sit for maybe 5-10 minutes, then you bring the machine over it. And as you're going over it, you've got somebody behind you spraying it to get all the dirt and mold and all that junk off of it. And then that's what you're left with, the nice clean boards.
Wow, that's very cool. It's an amazing transformation.
It is.
It looks like something that would be perfect for those tall grass videos, or those pressure washing video, like the oddly satisfying thing. Cause I've literally just been sitting here staring at this video. It's it's so funny, how cool it is to see that particular machine. And I know it's like everything's soaking wet. And you're using the machine, and the machine looks like a big electric motor on it. So do you have to, obviously would have to take some precautions around using that in that environment, I would suspect.
A little bit. I think if they're rated for using them in the water, so they do have the big power cord on it, like the thicker cord.
Yeah.
So I mean, like we're using it with water all the time. So like I've got water on the cord and all that. I do try to keep it away from the electrical socket, of course.
Yeah.
But when I'm using it, you use it with water and just go along, and I try and keep the cord away from when the guy's spraying behind me, so you know, of course, it doesn't get on the cord. But I mean, it is laying in the water and whatnot. But we've had no issues with it so far using it wet in the water like that. So
is that something that was available locally to you? That's what is it exactly called?
It's called the Pivot Square Scrub. So it wasn't available locally. I had to order it from I think the company was down in Kingston, which is about 3 or 4 hours away from me, and they shipped it up to me.
Okay.
I reached out to them on their website, and then he sent me the company that does it here in Ontario.
Oh okay.
Yeah,
so you're able to order it through them.
I was, yes.
Yeah, that's very cool. So now with the decks and stuff, so you don't do any actual pressure washing of the decks anymore. It's all using this and that chemical.
For the most part, yeah. There's a couple of spots I still use a pressure washer on, like if I have to do the spindles or stairs, because that machine's heavy, so it's hard to do it on stairs. Now, they do have a smaller version of that called the Doodle Scrub, where I could get on the stairs, but I'm not at the point where I want to buy that. Yeah, I'll just power wash the stairs just to make it a bit easier than having to lug two pieces of equipment around. But I may look into that depending on how much it is.
Yeah. So when you're using the pressure washer, what sort of best practices do you do? Because like you said, and I've had this experience before in my older house, pressure washing, and completely tore up my deck pressure washing it, and then it was all full of splinters and stuff after that. So what sort of precautions do you take? Besides, you talked about the surface cleaner. Is that the big round surface cleaners that you see people using on driveways and stuff?
It is, yes. Yeah. So you can use those. So for stairs, you can use them most part of the stairs, and then you have to use the wand as well. But if you don't have a big machine like that, what I have, if you're using just say you're just using the wand, you got to make sure you hold it up far enough and keep it moving. If you hold it down really close to the deck to try and get the stuff out, that's when it really chews it out. And there's different tips. So there's like the white tip, the green tip, and I believe there's the yellow tip. I usually use the green tip for it, because it seems to be, I can't remember what degree it is,
yep.
But that seems to be the best nozzle I've found so far for me to do the decks. And basically what I do, if I'm using that nozzle for spindles or stairs, I kind of keep it away maybe half a foot or so, and kind of slowly turn it on. But if you turn it on, you gotta keep it moving before you hit the spindle or stairs, because if you hit it straight on, it's going to leave that mark. So you just kind of got to move up and down, and then kind of work around. And then if you're you're doing like a straight line, like say on a deck board, you're supposed to keep moving down the board. You're not supposed to stop, because if you stop, that's where it's going to leave that mark. And when you can see the mark. So I kind of, if I do that, kind of move along, then I kind of flip it up in the air fast. Then I'll come back down, flip it back down quickly, move along. So power washing, there is a technique, and that's like why a lot of new people or people who just do it for themselves, ruin their decks, or you know, the nice fibers come out. So there's a technique. It took me a while to figure the technique out, but now that I've got it, it's just a big technique, man. Lots of practice, right? So and then with the surface cleaner, as soon as you turn it on, like, because it spins in circles, you got to move it lots. So you kind of move it back and forth. If you do stop, you sometimes will leave that little spinny mark, because it's got the two nozzles on the bottom. So you just got to make sure, you know, you keep it moving, and then when you're going to stop, just let go of the nozzle, and then just kind of maybe just keep it moving or lift it off the ground, so it's not continuously spinning, because it will spin for a couple of seconds after with all the pressure.
So do you make any adjustments to the pressure? Speaking of pressure,
Not really. So the pressure washers I have only have the one pressure setting on it. It doesn't have different pressure. I did have another pressure washer years ago that you could set the pressure on it, but I usually just leave it at one pressure and just keep it at that. The pressure washers I have, I think the one I bought last year was 31 psi, and then my other one I think it's like 28. Okay. I've heard that the PSI doesn't matter. It's the gallons per minute of water that you have going through your machine is what you actually want more of.
Yeah, for cleaning.
For cleaning. So I'm not sure why that is, but they say you could get away with like say 2,500 PSI washer, but if you had like a five gallons per minute, it's better than having like a 2 gallons per minute of water coming through your machine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard that too. Like the gallons per minute, it will give you better cleaning. But I was more asking like the pressure. I was more inquiring about for like actual wood surfaces, if you were like turning down the pressure.
So the higher pressure is definitely going to ruin the wood faster if you're not holding out far enough, right?
Yeah.
I guess the lower pressure might be better for somebody who's just starting out, just to get the hang of it, then you can work your way up to higher pressure. But it all depends on how close you hold the nozzle too. So the closer that you hold the nozzle to the boards is where you're going to have the issues of you ripping the wood apart.
Yeah, ripping those fibers apart. And then it kind of ruins the deck after that, because
it does,
then you're too afraid to walk on it, even like barefooted or anything. You can't. Yep. It's like you get splinters and the little like fuzzies that are sticking out from the wood. So yeah, it sounds like it's a very, you know, expertise based in terms of just having that the tool time, the machine time of learning the technique and all that. Same as, you know, somebody who's grabbing a string trimmer and going to edge a sidewalk for the first time will completely ruin. I'm sure you've seen too, like I'll drive by neighborhoods and the homeowner is trying to edge their sidewalk with a string trimmer and they've got it like on a completely wrong angle and they're just scalping the edges, like completely destroying the thing, right? And it's just one of those things where over years and years and thousands of lawns and stuff like that, that you can make a string trimmer edge look just as good as a blade edge. You know, with practice. It sounds like this technique for deck cleaning is probably about the same, just from what you're describing there with the spindles, kind of going downward motion, not stopping, and then doing a quick up into the air to prevent that little divot or whatever that's left in there. So yeah, it's pressure washing is definitely something that is definitely a technique. You got to concentrate and kind of keep you know, sort of a plan of how you're cleaning. It's why, you know, you'll see, because of all the water that goes everywhere, you see the homeowner doing it and they're just flailing around, whether it's a driveway or whatever the case. And, you know, they think they're cleaning it and they're changing the height and thing just from their movements, and there's water everywhere, so it looks like everything's being cleaned. And then a week later, you know, it's dry and the sun's hitting it, and you just see like lines everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, with all everything that they've missed, right? Those surface cleaners are awesome for driveways and stuff. When I was doing tons of driveways years ago, I dedicated, basically it was just Saturdays, that's all I would do, pressure washing driveways. And I remember going from, not only was it super fast when I switched to a surface cleaner, but it was just consistent results. Being able to go, and start, you know, on the driveway and overlap a little bit like you would mowing a lawn. And then you're left with nothing. There's no lines, no anything with it. And then I would just use one of those, what are they called? Like a water broom attachment.
Okay, yes.
With the wheels and stuff. And that would just be to, after surface clean, just to move all the debris down to the bottom of the driveway at the end to do like a final rinse or, you know, sort of thing. And it was fantastic. It just made, you know, everything look so good. But the surface cleaner is such a worthwhile investment if you're going to get into pressure washing.
It is, yes.
So how do you, have to market? Because like I said, when I look through your Instagram, especially throughout the season and stuff, it seems like you're always, you're doing as much of these deck refinishes as you're mowing lawns almost, right? It seems like you've always got photos and stuff going up on your Instagram of these transformations of these decks and stuff. So is it something that you've heavily delved into?
I have, yeah. So last year, the end of, 2021, I started asking customers if they wanted their decks cleaned. That's one of my biggest fears, asking customers for work, and I needed more work. So I just saw a customer that I knew I really wanted to ask, and they're kind of on the fence. That the husband's like, I don't like my deck clean. He said he used to do that. He doesn't like the look of it and all the stuff. So I finally convinced them to let me do his one deck with a Q-Tech system, clean and put the stain on, and they're blown away. So they got me to do the rest of their deck, and they have tons of deck. Like the most deck I've done on one place.
Oh, wow.
And they're blown away by it. So then I was at another lady's cottage in the fall time, and we're cleaning her windows, and I her deck's terrible. Like, it's so dry, like they get full sun, and it's like it needed a lot of work. So I finally asked her, and she said yes, they're thinking about doing it, but they didn't want to pay the cost of it. So then I upsold them with a Q-Tech system, and they're so happy with how it turned out. So I'm trying to do more of that. So I'm trying to upsell customers on it. Every time I go to customer sales that I see needs their deck clean, I go and ask them if they want a quote on it, and I'm trying to get more decks, because like I said, I like doing it. I love the way they look after. Mm-hmm. And honestly, from working on all the decks that I've been working on over the years, especially with ladder and stuff, if you get on a deck that's slippery, they're so dangerous.
Yeah.
So I hate going on decks, and you know, you feel it starting to slip on, you're like, oh no, this deck needs to be cleaned. So that's my new thing. I'm trying to upsell on decks as much as I can. We had a bunch last year. I've put two quotes out last week, so I'm hoping I can pick them up for next year. And then, like I said, just once spring hits, I'm going to start asking more and more customers to try and get more of those decks coming in.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a wet deck, especially, is something that can be pretty sketchy if it's got any sort of green film or anything on it.
Yeah,
then it's like being on on an ice rink. It's just it can be pretty brutal. And here, where I'm at, because of all the rain, they're always wet to be walking on, right? So it's and lots of moss and stuff, so they've always got that green film and stuff on them. So definitely something I'm gonna look into. That Q-Tech stuff, is that something you're getting like at a big box store, or is it some like specialty? I don't think I've ever seen it for sale in a store.
So it is a higher end product. It is pretty expensive. But I know the guy, it's like I said, the guy I went to high school with, he deals with it. I think he's actually working for Q-Tech now. So he lives half an hour away from me. So I just, if I need something, I call him up, put my order, and he gets it for me, because he gets a whole ton of shipment of it.
Oh, okay.
And then Home Hardware sells it now, I think. I know Home Hardware where around my area sells it. And then maybe like some especially lumber shops have it.
Oh, okay.
It is hard to find, but if you go on their website and they have a location finder, like a store location finder, you can put it in there, your address, and they'll tell you where the closest store is that sells it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll definitely have to do that. So you had, as you alluded to, a very successful season. You kind of surpassed your targets that you set out for yourself. You hired a second crew, second truck, and all that. That's all been working out very well for you. So much so that, this morning, you were before we started recording, you were busy. You mentioned that you had bought a piece of land and were out there. And before we started hitting record, you talked about this piece of land that you bought, 35 acres, to build a shop on for your business. Because if for people that don't remember, you currently reside on a campground?
Yes, we own a trailer park. So our house is in the trailer park. So a lot of people think we live in a trailer, but we don't. We actually have a house that we live in.
Yeah.
And then we've got campers that come up in the summertime and come to the trailers.
Yeah. And then so you own the campground. Is it your wife that runs the campground with your brother? If I remember correctly.
Just my wife. Now there's a whole story going on about that. I don't want to get into it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're taking it over. So we're just in the process of trying to take it over. And my wife runs the trailer park.
Awesome. So your wife runs the trailer park portion of it. So you get seasonal campers that come and set up their trailers. And then they have access to your park and the lake and all that throughout the year. And then you've been working the lawn care business, running it out of the trailer park. So now this new piece of land will be dedicated just to the landscape part of the business and storing all your equipment and stuff. That's very cool. So you're going to be, was it building a building there, a shop or something?
I'm hoping to build like a garage so that we can fit, you know, like all our equipment, my trucks and my trailers. I'm not sure when, because I need to save money up for them. There's some development of the driveway I need to do to flatten out and level everything out and try and figure out where I want to put it and whatnot. But that's the plan, hopefully in a year or two, to get that going, because I want to get out of the trailer because I'm taking over here. So that is the plan.
Yeah. I can see that. That would be a bit. Although, you know, the equipment that you use for your lawn care business is obviously also used at the trailer park to maintain the properties there. And I'm sure you're having to do leaf cleanups and stuff at the park as well, which would be a different dynamic, I would think, versus a customer where you're getting paid from, you know, a customer to do a leaf cleanup. And then you got to go to this, you know, your own large trailer park and have to do that for free, basically.
Yeah.
Although I guess you could build the other business for it, the actual trailer park side of it, in terms of doing it that way. But the interesting dynamic. So with all of that, what are your like future plans and goals now for your business? Because it looks like you're expanding at a rapid rate.
Yeah, well, I've been thinking about trying to get my goals down for next year, but definitely want to have 6 employees again next year. That's the hardest part about having a business, is trying to find the employees, especially where I am, because I'm in cottage country. So that's my one goal, is to get 6 employees back again. And then the revenue that I had this year, I want to try and get even more next year. I'm not sure the amount or the percentage yet, but I kind of have an idea of what I want to do. But to do that, I need to really upsell all the jobs to get that. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not sure what my other goals are. Just really trying to focus on expanding the business and making it as big as I can next year. Mm-hmm. Because the success that I saw this year, I never in my head imagined I could build a business this big. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of blown away by what we've done with it. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited for next year and to see how it goes. And then actually what other goal I have is not really business related, but it's kind of related to my YouTube channel. I kind of want to grow my YouTube channel even more than it was. I had a goal in 2 videos out a week last year, and I did that. So I want to continue with that next year and just get 2 videos out a week just to try and grow my YouTube channel as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. Definitely awesome to have a goal set. Gives you, you know, sort of that target to keep focused on, right? Not having goals, you end up wasting a lot of time kind of flailing around, going from one thing to the other, right? Having definite things written down, definite targets you want to reach, makes it a lot easier. Even if you don't get there, what's that saying? If you shoot for the moon, you'll get the stars, right? So,
yep. Well, and that's what they say, you know, make some really big, crazy goals that you don't ever think you're ever going to reach. And then when you get there, you'll be like, whoa, I did it, right?
Yeah. That's awesome. So how would you, like this time of year, everything's slowing down. How do you deal or handle your employees now at this time of year? How do you sort of work that transition? Are they still working with you? Are they not working with you? How's that work?
Yeah, no. So for my business, my employees are all laid off for this season. We run from April till whenever the snow flies or our fall cleanups are done. It's about mid-November or so. Mm-hmm. And I don't do snow because the insurance is really expensive. And once again, because I'm in the country, everything's far and few between. So it's a waste of time driving everywhere. So I just take the winter off, and I have to rehire them all back in the spring. And then over the winter, I kind of start getting ready for, you know, the springtime, get all my spring letters and price increases and all that stuff worked out. That way I'm not doing it last minute.
Mm. How do you find the turnover for employees when it comes to the spring? Because I would imagine, obviously, a lot of them would, you know, wouldn't be able to afford to just sit around and wait, that they'd have to pick up other jobs and stuff. Have you had issues with that, with having to hire people back, but they can't because now they're working somewhere else now? Or
yep. So for my two people, I've had them for 4 years now, which is fantastic. And then the one girl I have, that she's kind of my girl that drives my truck. She's coming back every year. She actually has a winter job now, so she does that in winter time. And then she comes back to me because she doesn't want to do her winter job. She'd rather be working for me in the summertime.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And then I had a really good guy this year. He was working in Toronto, but he moved up north to us, and just driving down Toronto every day was too far. It was like a 2-hour drive there and back. So he worked with me for the whole season. And then when I went down to Equip Expo, I kind of get slow around that time. So he went in to help his cousin wrap boats to winterize them. And then told me he found a full-time job. So he didn't tell me. He just said he's found enough job. But I kind of asked him, but he didn't want to tell me. So he's got a full-time job, but I don't think he's coming back next year, which kind of sucks because he's really good at lawn care. That's what he's been doing for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other, my other employee, this was his second year back, which was awesome. He lives just down the road. I'm hoping he comes back next year. I already offered it to him. And then the two other people I had, I kind of just asked my one customer actually across the lake about, you know, I need some more workers, and she knew these two girls, so I hired them on. Finding people every year makes me nervous because I've got the work coming in, but trying to find the people is the hardest part. I just interviewed one of my customers' sons a couple of days ago, and he's working like an hour away, but he told me the price he wanted me to pay him. I'm like, I can't pay you that much. That's like really top end. If you're really good, you've been here for a year or two, and I know you're good, I would hire you at that. But just trying to find people, I don't know if it's because they want more money or if it's just because I'm in the country as well. It's really hard to find those employees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just what makes me nervous every year is finding people, because if I don't have the people, I can't grow the business and I can't take on as much work. Mm-hmm. So when the work's coming in, it's frustrating if you don't have employees. But I've got ads out right now trying to find people, and it's just nobody ever really wants to work where, like come down to where I am to work. So that's a frustrating part about where I live.
Mm. Is that that new property you bought, is it close to where you live, or is it sort of in between? Or
no, it's 5 kilometers away.
Oh, okay, so it's nice and close for you. Yeah, I was thinking, maybe the location would help with employees if they don't have to go, you know, so deep into the country. If it was like halfway or something like that, but it sounds like it's pretty much the same spot.
No, pretty much the same spot. Yeah, it's just. I don't know if it's me. I've asked other people too, and everybody says they have issues with employees. And I know people in Toronto, and they said they have the same issue. They can't find people, which is mind blowing. When you have a city that big and you still can't find people that work, it's crazy to me. So I don't know if people just don't want to work or what it is, but I mean, I'm motivated to work. I want to work. I want to grow my business, and I can't do that without help, right? As well as other people who want to grow their business. You need the help, and if you can't get the help, you can't expand it.
Yeah. No, definitely. It seems to be the trend that anything that's sort of like labor intensive and stuff is very difficult to find people. You know, they just want, it could be wrong, but I get the perception that they just want easy money, that they just want, you have minimum wages and things like that constantly going up. Makes it difficult to compete, to get somebody to come and help doing a labor intensive job when they can just go and stand in the mall doing nothing or whatever, and getting that sort of a wage, right? It's not too much incentive for them. So that's interesting predicament. It could be some stress, especially like you said, because you have the work coming in, and you know that part is guaranteed. With those recurring customers and all that stuff, especially if you went to 2 crews, you would assume that all those customers would be coming back, and then you have to be able to get those bodies to do that work.
Yes.
And being seasonal, if some of those guys, like you said, that one employee, if he can't come back, and you know, lawn care was his thing, then that means, you know, the time to train somebody else to do that if they have no experience and all that. So yeah, that's a interesting interesting predicament to be.
It is, yes.
To be in. You're a brave brave fellow to be want to do that and to keep, you know, to go through a year and then to want to continue to expand even more and see how that's going to be.
Yes.
Yeah, some crazy challenges. So we're just going to take a quick break, and then we'll get right back into it right after this. So stay tuned.
Summer showers, dust that chokes, acres that just won't end. Exmark knows the job of a landscape professional isn't an easy one. That's why we've crafted a legendary line of mowers built to overcome any obstacle. So you're ready to close the deal and finish the job. Like you always do. Cut from the same red metal as your Exmark mower, you aren't just good at this. You were built for this.
Look for Crest Commercial at the Landscape Ontario Congress, January 9th to 11th. A presenting sponsor, Crest can be found at booth 328 near the stage. Learn about the revolutionary 8-minute cyber system and how switching to Crest can save you money. You can even register for a free 10-day trial. And everyone who signs up for a trial at Congress will be automatically entered to win a 2-man crew equipment set valued at over $24,000. Visitors to the Crest booth can also enjoy complimentary beer service starting at 11 a.m. Tuesday and Wednesday. And while you're there, enter to win select tools each day, Tuesday through Thursday. Find Crest at the Landscape Ontario Congress booth number 328 and visit crest.com to find a dealer near you.
All right. So this week, as I alluded to in the beginning of our conversation, that we're actually recording this, pre-recording it, about mid-December 2023 and heading into sort of the holiday season. But this episode, for those of you that are listening, is coming out on Tuesday, January the 9th. And this happens to be the day that the LOC, or Landscape Ontario Congress, kicks off. You, Scott, are a seasoned attendee of the LOC, or Landscape Ontario Congress. And for those listening, that is kind of like, I would describe it as, although I haven't been there myself, I would describe it as kind of the Equip Expo for Canada, but on a smaller scale. So maybe tell us a bit about it, because you've been there a bunch of times. I noticed on your Instagram that you got your attendee pass in the mail here in December, getting ready to go down there. So what's that Landscape Ontario Congress all about?
Yes, so that's exactly how I kind of explain it too. It's like the Equipic Exposition, but kind of smaller than that. It's like the little baby of it. So because it's in Toronto and we're in Canada, they don't have outdoor booths. It's just all indoor. And it is not even close to the size of the expo. It's really small. I believe they have two different rooms you can go into, as well as they have a conference where you can go and join different events, conferences, just to learn about different things. I have not done that yet. I would like to, but that is a little bit more money to pass. I haven't found a event that I really want to go to for that yet. But I always look at the different speakers that are talking to see what they're talking about, because that can help your business out to look at that. But other than that, it's basically just like the Equip Expo. They've got all the booths set up with the equipment. You know, you can go talk to all the reps and whatnot, and on your badges, of course, they've got little scanners. So if you're interested in the equipment, they scan it, and then they can send you more info after the equipment. But yeah, it's a nice little show. It's a nice way to break the winter up to go to. And, you know, even though we've already both been to the Equip this year, it's nice to go to something in Canada as well, just to see the Canadian people and maybe, you know, network with them. And see maybe some equipment that maybe wasn't at the Equip Expo. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just walk around and network with your Canadian guys that might know. And I'm hoping to meet up with some guys again this year down there, and just see how everyone's doing, and just see what's out there again for this year. And usually for me, when I go, I used to teach skiing, so I always go like in the morning, rush through it fast, and go work at nighttime. So this year I'm hoping to go for 2 days. They do have a tailgate party. I think it's on the Wednesday night, where you can go network with people. I've never been to that. So that's something I would like to maybe do this year and take my time, walk through the, event floor slower, talk to more people, and, you know, just take more time to take it in instead of rushing through it. Seeing that it, you could probably take only a day to walk through it, to see everything. But like I said, I want to go through it slower and see more things and talk to more people and not rush. Cause when you rush, you don't really get to see things. Right.
So,
that's my plan for this year. And like I said, I really want to stay over the one night just to go to the tailgate party and see what that's like. And then as well, I know the one guy from Quebec, Daniel, he's got a long care company out there. He's going to be there this year. So it's always good talking to him. He's a really good guy to know. So I'd love to go and, you know, talk to him again. And then, just walk around and see the equipment and whatnot. It's just a fun thing to do.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. So it's January 9th to 11th. So 9th, obviously, is the day that this episode's coming out. If you're in the Toronto maybe nearby Ontario area that you can get to, it's being held at the Toronto Congress Center from January 9th to the 11th. So the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday trade show hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on the Tuesday and Wednesday. And then on the Thursday, it's 9 to 4 p.m. Just a quick sort of overview. It says the Landscape Ontario Congress is Canada's largest and longest running trade show and conference for landscape professionals, with over 400 exhibitors covering more than 8 acres. Congress's one-stop shop for your latest equipment, tools, materials, and supplies. Everything you need to do what you do best. Crest commercial that I've been working with, and you guys have been seeing me do a lot of testing of their tools and a lot of videos and stuff. They're one of the presenting sponsors this year for the Landscape Ontario Congress, and they'll have a booth there as well, booth number 328 near the main stage. So you can go and check out and learn about their revolutionary 8-minute cyber system and how switching to Crest can save you money. And also, they'll be signing up people for a 10-day trial. So if you've been thinking about seeing some of the videos I've been doing and want to check it out for yourself, you can actually do a free trial with Crest, where they'll basically sign you up for 10 days, give you some tools, and let you go at it for 10 days to try them out in your own business and see what it's all about. That offer applies as well for those in the U.S. You can visit a Crest dealer and do free trials through your Crest dealer as well, for if you want to try out some of their battery stuff. But specifically at this Landscape Ontario Congress Day, we'll be signing people up to do that. So is there anything that you will be looking forward to seeing, or any sort of equipment that you're looking forward to maybe trying out or thinking about adding to the business for this year?
I'm not looking to buy any equipment or try anything out, but at the Equip Expo, I was actually sick, so I was very out of it. I didn't really know what I was doing down there. So I of course love Walker Moores. So the Pro Power is the people who import them into Canada from the USA. So I always go and enjoy talking to those guys. They all know me, so I like to talk to them. And they do have a new mower called the C23i, which I did not look at the Equip Expo because, like I said, I was sick and I was just overwhelmed. So I'm hoping to check that mower out a little bit more in detail there. And then Echo has a huge booth there this year, so I'm going to go check that out. And then, yeah, just kind of maybe just walk around and see what other equipment booths are there, and just it's always different every year. You know, you see things that you missed the year before, or new equipment's there. So I just like to walk around and just see what's there, and, you know, put on my dream list. I like to have this.
Yeah,
and maybe I'll get it.
Yeah, there's just so much.
Yes, like there is.
Like a kid in the candy store walking through these trade shows and seeing all that shiny paint and equipment. That would be so cool to add so many use case scenarios that you're like, oh man, that'd be, you know, it'd be awesome to have one of those and have one of that. It's kind of neat to see. I'm not sure at this point, at the time of recording this, whether I will be able to make it to the Landscape Ontario Congress, but if I am there, then make sure you guys stop and say hi if you see me. And if not, then maybe next year. But definitely something that I've got on the list for some time to check out sort of the Canada version of the Equip Expo and see what that's all about. Would be very very neat to kind of see the version. We don't have anything like that here on my side. I remember there was one year that we had at the local stadium, the at the time it was called BC Place. They had a sort of a in January, that type of a thing, where basically on the floor there that they had like all these booths and equipment and stuff, but it was literally like 1 year. That was it, that they had it. And then they didn't have it. And I was like, oh, that was so cool. Like, why didn't they continue that and stuff? But I guess they didn't have, the market, just not enough of the population and stuff. Cause the population there in Ontario is massive compared to, to BC, right? It's a drop in the bucket. So yeah, and completely different. Like I was talking to somebody else that I was interviewing as well, that just product selection and brand selection here in BC is very limited. You know, I've barely ever see things like Skag or Ferris or things like that. Like you might see something like that once in a while. But it seems like, and like, what are the other ones, like Right Stand On Mowers and stuff like that. But you guys have all that stuff in Ontario, you guys have, all of those, big, large brands over there.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned that, like I, in my area, the only mowers I really see are a couple of Walkers. There's John Deere. And other than that, like, I don't see any others. I see Cub Cadets, but I don't see any Skags. I don't see any Wrights. I don't see any of that stuff. Saying that, I do know a guy, he lives about 20 minutes from me. He did buy a Skag Windstorm. But I think, I don't even know where the dealer was. He said he drove pretty far to get it. So, there's no like real, cause I live in the country. There's all the dealers are like 45 minutes away from us. So to get the equipment is a little bit harder. And to find the dealer. So yeah, but like, it's the same with me here. Like, I'm sure if I was in the city, I may see more, you know, of the Wrights or Skags or whatnot, but up here it's all kind of like John Deere's that people are running and maybe a couple Walker people, but that's it that I've seen up here.
Yeah That's for sure. Yeah, probably because you're again in the country sort of, a little bit farther, but every time I look up something to see if it's available or where it's available, it's always like Ontario contacts or Ontario dealers that have it. It's like, we don't have anything here. Like, what the heck, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, you do like a quick Google search for like a used piece of equipment or something and see, and it's always at an auction place or something in Ontario, right? It's like, they have everything. We don't have anything here on the West Coast. It's very, very, very limited. So looking forward to that lock. Anything else that you're going to be planning or anything for your business this year, besides obviously you got some maintenance and stuff to do on that new property and things like that?
Honestly, I just want to focus and stay focused. I get really distracted all the time, so I just want to stay focused. And one thing that my employees have told me over the years is, when we're walking on a property, I'm talking to them, I always talk away from them and they can't hear me. So that's the thing I've been trying to work on over the years, is to stop and talk to them and then show them, you know, what we need to do instead of walking around. So that's one thing I really want to focus on, is being able to talk to my employees better and communicating better what we need to do. Because we give poor communication, the job's going to get done poorly, right? So I really want to work on communicating better with my employees. And then hopefully that will bring a better service and they'll know how to do the job better, or do the job that I want them to do, right? So that's one thing I really want to work on. It's not really a big business thing, but in the small scale, it really does help, and you can communicate with your employees and they know what to do for the jobs.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything you said that expanding the business this year that it really surprised you, what you were able to achieve more than you would have expected? Was there anything that you kind of learned from that experience besides that? Whether it was like having to manage that many employees, is there anything that you would do differently?
I thought it would be really hard to add a second crew and hard to manage it, but it really isn't, because I think for me, because the two people I had, or actually three people I had, they've already done the business for me for a few years. So they know the side of the business, right? So they know how to do all the lawns and that. Other than picked up new lawns they've never done before, just learning that stuff. But for me, just kind of learning how to schedule people and make sure I have enough work for everybody. That's another issue, making sure you have enough work for everybody with the two crews, right? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a learning experience, learning that. And then trying to think what else. Just making sure that everybody shows up to do the work, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, like Amanda, she's the girl who drives my truck for me. If she needs a day off, whatever, no one else knows how to drive the trailer. Mm. So I have to go and drive the trailer and then send somebody else to go with the other crew to do the other jobs. And doing that, if they don't know how to do the jobs, it's kind of, you got to kind of explain it to them and then have to show up the job and kind of figure out what you're telling them. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's where communicating with employees come in. But, I thought it was gonna be hard to expand, but it wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. It was pretty easy. It's just, like I said, just keeping enough work coming in. Right. So, yeah. At the start of the episode, I did say, you know, I got over my fear of asking customers for work, and that's my one big thing I got over, is asking for work. I would never do that because I didn't want to sound like I'm harassing the customer or bothering the customer. But since doing that, it has been an amazing experience. Customers always say yes. You give them a quote, whether you get the job or not. But going out there and putting it out there, you can do the work, and asking them for the work is amazing. It really helps. I think it's helped my confidence as well, to be able to ask for that work and then bring more work in to get the work for the employees. So that's just one thing for me that I've gotten over, is getting over the fear. And if you aren't asking for work, you should try it, because it's amazing how much more work you can bring in, especially if you're slow. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you specifically asking for certain things, or are you just asking them if they need anything that has brought to their attention? Because I've found that in my own experience that, you know, just keeping your eye out, I would say, you know, there's acres of diamonds everywhere. That was something that the franchisor used to say when I was part of that franchisee, and he stole that line from Jim Rohn, who came up with that, and it's absolutely true. There's so much stuff out that, you know, if you're willing to do stuff or you need work and things, just keeping your eye open on things that you would be comfortable doing. A lot of times it could be stuff that the homeowner is so busy, they don't even notice that needs attention or whatever the case may be, and just, you know, bringing it to their attention instantly, you know, creates that work for you. Is that sort of the approach you're taking, or are you just kind of going and asking them just sort of, you know, randomly, is there anything that they need to be or have done?
Not really. I mean, they can always request on my website if they want work, but I'm usually, like, if I'm out doing a window job and I see the deck, I'll try and upsell them on the deck.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I'm doing. If I'm out a job, I'll try and upsell them on a deck cleaning. If I get a good vibe from the customer, I'll do that. If I don't feel comfortable, I usually don't. But that's kind of what I've been doing, trying to upsell people on just the decks. Now, saying that, if I just get a deck job and I'm there and I feel comfortable, I might be able to upsell them on maybe, say, window cleaning, right? Mm-hmm. So it kind of goes hand in hand. So if you see work around somebody's property, if you're there already, just ask them. Ask them if they would like you a quote on doing that work. So say you're out doing lawn care and you see they have hedges and they're overgrown. Maybe go ask the customer if they want the hedges done, if you don't do that already. And if they say yes, you've just got yourself more work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of my advice that I'm going on with myself now, is ask for the work and the work will come to you. It's easier to ask a customer you're already doing work for to get more work from them than try to go out and get new customers.
Yeah, absolutely. You've already got a pool of customers that already know, yep, like, and trust you. It's so much easier to deal with, you know, the minimal paperwork of dealing with the same customers than adding more clients and having, yes, to do more paperwork and stuff for, you know, a one-time hedge job or something like that, when you've got a customer that you mow their lawn all the, you know, every week, and now, you know, you're going to start doing their hedge for them, and adding those extras with those other clients can really fill in the day, fill your time, create work for employees if you have them, and do all that with those same clients, those same amount of paperwork and stuff,
yes,
that you're doing the same credit card transaction or whatever the same thing that you're doing. So it really is, I think, an untapped resource that a lot of guys do. There are a lot of guys are set in their ways of, I only mow lawns. I only want to do this. And it's like, but there's so much you're leaving on the table by doing that. And, you know, you don't have to do other things that aren't related, like Christmas lights and things like that, if you're not interested in that stuff. But if it's green related, like hedges and, you know, fertilizing and things like that, you should absolutely be tapping into those clients for that. Why have you just mow the lawn and then they're hiring somebody else to do the hedges and then they're hiring somebody else to you know, do, when you could all do all of it, right? And and build that relationship of that regular work every year. I have famously, you know, when I post on sometimes photos of like the same tree that I'm pruning or the same hedge, and I always get the comments, oh, it's that time of year again, from people, right? Because they recognize it, right? And it's like, yeah, it's the same tree I've been trimming twice a year for 6 years or whatever the case may be, right? Because why wouldn't you when you've got the same client that you're mowing there every week and they won't need all that stuff done. So I think that's really good to see that you're doing that as well. Yeah, that's awesome. So appreciate you taking the time to come and visit with me again here on the podcast. Like I said, the original episode that we did was number 245. That was back in 2020. Very cool. It was awesome taking the time chatting with you. Thank you so much for coming on. If people are heading to, it's so difficult when I'm talking like this and trying to record an episode for the future, trying to get my brain on it, but going, so if people are attending the Landscape Ontario Congress this week, make sure they look out for you from Red Rock Maintenance and make sure they stop and say hi to you as well. I'm sure you don't bite and would enjoy would enjoy the interactions with people to come up and say hi.
Yes, I would love to meet everybody, and I would love to even do maybe some interviews with people. So if you see me, I'm probably going to be wearing my Red Rock Maintenance shirt. So come on up and talk to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. So thanks again, Scott, for coming on to the show. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Julio.
That's right. That's awesome. So there you have it, Lawn Care Nation. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that value-packed interview episode with Scott Faulkner from Red Rock Maintenance. Make sure if you are in the Ontario or Toronto area, if you're heading to the Landscape Ontario Congress January 9th through the 11th, to look out for that Red Rock Maintenance hoodie. Look for him out there and stop by and say hi, as well as check out the Crest Bruth. And if you're curious about them, again, you can sign up and get a free trial of their equipment. They'll literally give you that equipment to go and use in your lawn care business and try it out for yourself and to see if everything that I've been saying about it is equal for you as well. So that's it for this one, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.